All right, friends and enemies, we are here today to make fun of libertarians. Not the making fun of libertarians I've been talking about I want to do. That's a whole different making fun of libertarians. This just fell into my lap. So I fired up the G-Podder and I'm downloading a podcast. And I look over there and I see the title of this one. I'm going, oh, libertarian abortion. Okay. Because, you know, I did the podcast about abortion and I said nobody cares and I didn't want to talk about it and it's so fucking boring. And it's all about women not taking responsibility for their actions. That is ultimately what abortion is. And I listen to this. Take notes today, guys, because this is going to be a good one. And yeah, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, civil, piss, moan, shove whatever up your vagina you want to shove and try to scrape the baby out. You can shove your opinion up your ass. You can't scrape a baby out of there, but you'll find Joe Biden's dick up at it. Don't forget, my friends and my enemies, the ever present, the most likely, the third possibility. You are wrong, and I am right. You're welcome. Oh, you are fucking welcome. You're welcome for me taking time out of my finite life to explain this shit to you motherfuckers out there. You are so goddamn welcome. The fact that I get to make fun of libertarians along the way, that's just a bonus for me. The pleasure that I enjoy from ripping, the pleasure that I enjoy as opposed to the pleasure I don't enjoy, I don't know. Whatever, I'm just making shit up right now. So I listen to this podcast, and I'm just like dying. I'm like, okay, this is great. I really need to... First thing I thought was I'm going to put this in the other people's podcast, which I know I haven't done in a while because I've been busy. In theory, I'm going to have an other people's podcast for you this Sunday. But then I thought, you know what? I'm going to play at least part of this. I'm not going to play the whole thing because after a while they move away from where Rothbard is mind-blowingly wrong about abortion. Just mind-blowingly wrong. And remember, guys, here's the takeaway. Abortion is women avoiding responsibility for their actions. I'm pretty sure I said that in the previous podcast where I talked about Roe versus Wade. If I didn't, I should have, because that's what it is. That's all it is. That's the only thing that's going on here, is women can never be held accountable for the consequences of their actions. This is why women should not be allowed to vote, have jobs, own property, or sign contracts. I don't say those things because I hate women. I love women. I say those things because women are not capable of taking responsibility for the consequences of their actions. Women spend every fucking moment of their fucking life seeking ways to avoid the consequences of their actions. If you think otherwise, you are number one, wrong, number two, stupid, number three, a beta male. These guys in this podcast, I think I've listened to one episode of this podcast before. I think I even put it in other people's podcasts. I might need to listen to some more of these kids. They make some really good points, and they're reading Rothbard's Ethics of Liberty, and Rothbard is talking about abortion, and Rothbard is just going complete fucking beta male simp to alleviate women of any responsibility for their actions in getting pregnant. And it's just fucking pathetic. It is absolutely pathetic. And these two kids, oh, I gotta put these back on. I took my headset off because I do need this, otherwise I can't hear the fucking podcast. These guys make some really good points. So anyway, without any more further ranting on my part, let's see if I can talk. Let's fucking just start playing this and get into it.
Okay, chapter 14, Children and Rights. We have now established each man's property right in his own person and in the virgin land that he finds and transforms by his labor. And we have shown that from these two principles, we can deduce the entire structure of property rights in all types of goods. These include the goods which he acquires in exchange or as a result of a voluntary gift or bequest. There remains, however, the difficult case of children. The right of self-ownership by each man has been established for adults, for natural self-owners who must use their minds to select and pursue their ends. On the other hand, it is clear that a newborn babe is in no natural sense an existing self-owner.
Whoa! 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 It is clear that a newborn child is in no natural sense an existing self-owner. It goes on to say, but rather a potential self-owner. Hold on. It is clear. Now, we're not. He's not saying, you know, I have this thesis, or I want to discuss, or I want to debate. And just quick sidetrack. Like, you can't really debate, is an unborn child a person or not a person, with, say, for example, not to pick up, but to use a real example, Adam Piggott. Because Adam's going to tell you, yes, it's the unborn child is a human because my church says so and it has a soul. Okay, but my church says so is not a logical path of reasoning, right? You're not going from some first foundation in a philosophical sense and building on ideas. And, you know, my Bible says so and my soul. I mean, these are not things that can be tested because no one can measure a soul. Nobody can locate a soul. Nobody knows what a soul is. So there's really no point, and there's no point in trying to have a debate with, say, for example, Adam Piggott on this, even though I agree with Adam. And see, the thing, I agree, as we'll find out. Is it a person? Well, yeah. But there's no depth and there's nuance. There's no depth and no nuance to the opinion that the unborn child is a human when that opinion is just based on my church said so. Right? There's nowhere to go with that. Now the shit that Rothbard is going to spew, he thinks that he's being intelligent. He thinks that he started at some first principles and he's working forward. And this shit is embarrassing to libertarians all around the world. The shit that you're going to hear. This is just embarrassing. So he starts, it is clear the newborn baby is in no natural sense an existing self-owner. Well, no, it's not clear. You don't just get to come out and say, that's what religious people do. Well, it's clear that the unborn baby has a soul. How is that clear? Well, it says so in my Bible. Okay, well, show me the soul. Get me a measurement of the soul. Well, but it's, no, it's not clear. You're just making shit up. You don't just come out of nowhere and say, well, it is clear that the newborn babe is in no natural sense an existing self-owner. No. You have to show your work. How did you conclude that a newborn, and we're not even talking about a fetus, we're talking about newborn child. The child just came out of the woman's vagina, with which 45% of women can't locate. The kid just came out of the vagina. He says, well, it's clear that this baby doesn't own itself. No, that is not even fucking remotely clear. Show your fucking work.
I don't think it's clear. But rather a potential self-owner. But this poses a difficult problem, for when or in what way does a growing child acquire his natural right to liberty and self-ownership? Gradually or all at once? At what age? And what criteria do we set forth for this shift or transition? It's unfortunate to me that he just hand-waved away. He didn't justify why a newborn is not a self-owner.
Right, like, exactly.
Why not?
Perhaps maybe he'll get into it a little bit more later on.
First, let us begin with the prenatal child. What is the parent's, or rather the mother's, property right in the fetus? In the first, oh, we're going abortion here. All right, here we go.
In the first place, here we are. It's gonna get good.
Strap in.
Yeah.
In the first place, we must note that the conservative Catholic position has generally been dismissed too brusquely. This position holds that the fetus is a living person, and hence that abortion is an act of murder, and must therefore be outlawed, as in the case of any murder. The usual reply is simply to demarcate birth as the beginning of a live human being possessing natural rights, including the right not to be murdered.
Right, and I've talked about this before. This is a huge problem I have with these idiots, that there's this magic thing that happens when the baby goes through the birth canal, right? If you've listened to this podcast for a long time, you've heard all this before. I've said, well, what if you open a woman up as if you're doing a cesarean section, and then you stick a puppy inside of her uterus, and then you shove the puppy through the birth canal. So when the puppy comes out the other side of the birth canal, has it magically become a human? Like, once again, no one can explain to me the magic process by which the fetus passing through the birth canal magically transforms it from something that the mother can murder at any time with, of course, no consequences. There could be no consequences, zero consequences, right? Until now, suddenly it's a person. Like, what is the magic property of the birth canal that it can do that, and can it do that to other things like puppies or kittens or carrots or bowling balls? If we just shove anything through a fucking birth canal, does it become a human?
Before birth, the counterargument runs, the child cannot be considered a living person. But the Catholic reply that the fetus is alive and is an imminently potential person then becomes disquietingly close to the general view that a newborn baby cannot be aggressed against because it is a potential adult. While birth is indeed the proper line of demarcation, the usual formulation makes birth an arbitrary dividing line and lacks sufficient rational groundwork in the theory of self-ownership. I am tempted to jump in now, but I kind of want to give him enough rope for me to hang.
Yeah, let's give him some more rope, because that's a lot of stupid.
Give him a little bit more. We got plenty of pages here.
That's a lot of stupid.
The proper groundwork for analysis of abortion is in every man's absolute right of self-ownership. This implies immediately that every woman has the absolute right to her own body, that she has absolute dominion over her body and everything within it. This includes the fetus. Most fetuses are in the mother's womb because the mother consents to this situation, but the fetus is there by the mother's freely granted consent.
Right, quick note, women cannot consent. Right, all these women who consented to having sex and then 25 years later decided they were raped has shown us that women are not capable of consent. Because women... Let me repeat myself for the billionth time. Women spend every moment of their existence seeking to avoid responsibility for the consequences of their actions. Okay? They cannot consent. This is why letting them sign contracts is something that should not be happening. They cannot consent to the terms and agreements of a contract. They can't do it.
But should the mother decide that she does not want the fetus there any longer, then the fetus becomes a parasitic invader of her person, and the mother has the perfect right to expel this invader from her domain.
And there we go. So the woman has sex, she gets pregnant, there's a fetus there, and she just wakes up one more. 25 years later, she just wakes up and decides that the sex wasn't consensual. She can do whatever she wants. She can accuse people of rape. No consequences for her. She has sex, she gets impregnated, the fucking fetus is growing. One day she wakes up to, you know what, I don't want this anymore. And the fetus just magically... The previously wanted fetus has just magically become a parasite. It is now an invader. It is a parasitic invader. 24 hours ago, she was excited about having a child. She was going to be a mother. This was a welcomed aspect of her life. And now magic happened. Now it's a parasitic invader. You see, women get to just change reality based on their feelings in the moment. This is why they can't be allowed to vote. Well, they can, but then you'll get the society we have. If you want a functional society, you cannot let women have power, political power or economic power. You can't. because you will get this. Because every moment of their lives, they're like a completely new person. They just make stuff up. Yesterday, it's their future baby. Today, it's a parasitic invader. Yesterday, this was an alpha male she was having sex with. Tomorrow, it's a rapist.
Abortion should be looked upon not as murder of a living person, but as the expulsion of an unwanted invader from the mother's body. Any laws restricting or prohibiting abortion are therefore invasions of the rights of mothers.
Invasion of the rights of mothers. Okay, if you abort the kid, you're not a mother. The invasion of the rights of mothers.
I mean, it's just completely wrong from end to end.
It is.
I'm going to continue a little bit farther.
It's completely
okay,
wrong.
Okay, just a little bit more
everything.
And then I'll let you go off, King.
Everything.
It has been objected that since the mother originally consented to the conception,
exactly.
The mother has therefore contracted its status with the fetus and may not violate that contract by having an abortion.
Well, yes, but see, that would require, again, women know what the possible consequences of sex are. They're consenting to the sex. Yeah, that is exactly right. If you're consenting to the sex, you need to, you're aware of the potential outcomes and the consequences, which is exactly what women do not want to be responsible for, which brings me back to my point that the entire fucking purpose, the entire explanation, the entire goal of abortion is nothing more than women not being responsible for the consequences of their actions.
There are many problems with this doctrine, however.
Oh,
in the
really?
First place, as we shall see further below, a mere promise is not an enforceable contract.
Wrong! 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 This is a libertarian. This is Rothbard. This is a great libertarian thinker. A mere promise is not an enforceable contract. First of all, enforceable by who? Enforceable by the state? So, that's very libertarian of you. Yes, a mere promise is an enforceable contract. If you promise to pick someone up at the airport, this is enforceable. You promised to do it. Now, this again, see, of course this doesn't apply to women because a woman's promise is completely fucking worthless. Yes, a mere promise is an enforceable contract. If I promise to pick you up at the airport and I don't show up, you can enforce that contract by choosing to dissociate yourself from me. There's all kinds of ways you could choose to enforce that contract. You can't magically make me go back in time and come to the airport and pick you up, but there can be consequences for me not following through on my mere promise. And that is enforcement. Holy fucking shit, this is retarded.
Contracts are only properly enforceable if their violation involves implicit theft.
Wrong.
And clearly no such consideration can apply here.
Wrong. A contract does not have to involve implicit theft to be enforceable. That is absolute fucking nonsense.
Secondly, there is obviously no contract here since the fetus, fertilized ovum, question mark. It's like they constantly have to dehumanize in
yes.
these arguments, right?
Yeah.
Like we can't call it a
fetus. It's
right.
too human.
Yeah. The fertilized
even fetus was too human,
ovum.
Right? It's got to be a fertilized ovum, question mark? Can hardly be considered a voluntary and consciously contracting entity. And thirdly, as we have seen above, a crucial point in libertarian theory is that the inalienability of the will, and therefore the impermissibility of enforcing voluntary slave contracts. Even if this had been a contract, then it could not be enforced because a mother's will is inalienable, and she cannot legitimately be enslaved into carrying and having a baby against her will. All right. Let's fucking tap the brakes, as Christian would say.
She's enslaved.
Yeah. Let's pump the brakes here. Right.
See, when a woman has consequences to her actions, she's enslaved. She's being enslaved by the fetus, which is only in her fucking uterus because she took specific actions, and she did specific things, but oh, there must be no consequences for her because her feels.
A little bit. All right, where do you want to start? At the top?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, there is no non-arbitrary point beyond conception where you could say that a human gains rights. And again, to even talk about rights as something that can be gained is to talk about them improperly, in my opinion.
Right. Okay, so let me jump in here. Now, first of all, I slightly disagree, and I don't know exactly how they're defining terms because they don't do that. But as I've said before, there's conception, okay, where you've got the egg and you've got the sperm. Sperm penetrates the egg. They do their things. They mix their DNA. Bam. However, many times that will happen, but the fertilized egg does not implant into the wall of the uterus, probably because 45% or so of women don't know where their uterus is, and so the egg can't find its way there. And that egg is expelled when the woman has her period, right? So to be slightly more scientifically precise, I would say that it becomes a potential human. And again, if you've been here a long time, you've heard all this before. It becomes a potential human when the fertilized egg is implanted into the wall of the uterus. As I've said before, from this point forward, if you don't go in there and scrape it out, or if nothing goes wrong, because of course there's natural miscarriages and all this other stuff, a woman is automobile, whatever. If nothing goes wrong, the result of the fertilized egg implanting in the wall of the uterus will be a human. It will not be a puppy, despite what some women think. It will not be a kitten. It will not be a Sharpie ink pen. It will not be a Supergirl mouse pad. It will not be a can of Mango Cart beer. It will not be a purple water bottle. It will not be a computer. It will be a person. That's what it will be 100% of the time. Now, some of those people will grow up to be libtards who should be exterminated, but it will come out of the magic birth canal as a person. Those are just facts. Once again, you can prove me wrong. Show me where an impregnated woman has given birth to something that was not human. I'm right. I am completely right about this. And if you disagree with what I just said, you're a fucking moron. What else was I about to riff? What was this? Rights. What rights don't exist. There's no such thing as rights. There is no right. You don't have a fucking right. The only rights you have are the ones you can defend. There are no rights. So talking about rights at all just makes you look like a fucking moron.
Rights are mutually reciprocal agreements. And they should be afforded to anybody who does or, you know, potentially will reciprocate them.
Now, actually, though, I agree with that in a more, okay, rights don't exist. But okay, in a more practical sense, yes, we could say that rights are, as he just said, they're a mutually, I like this. There's a lot of good stuff in this podcast. Rights are a mutually reciprocated agreement. Yes, and as I've said before, once you start violating other people's property rights, you've given up your property rights, right? That's called self-defense. That's why if somebody assaults you, you get to kill them because they violated this. And yeah, was that the social contract? No, there's no social contract. It's also, I think, exactly the same thing, or at least very close, to Stefan Molyneux's universal, what the fuck is it called? Not universal basic income, that's different. Universally preferable behavior, UPB, there we go. I haven't talked about UPB in ages. Universally preferable behavior. You respect other people's property, they respect your property in return. I could say this without even using the word rights, okay? I respect your property, you respect my property. If I violate your property, you are no longer obligated to not violate my property. didn't even use the word rights. It's that fucking simple. It really is. No, there are no exceptions. There are no... It's that fucking simple.
And it should exclude those who do not reciprocate them.
Right, exactly.
So if I see somebody punch Christian, I have no onus or reason to respect that person's rights. He's obviously showing that he doesn't respect people's rights.
Yes, exactly.
It doesn't necessarily have to even be with me. It can just be like, if somebody attacks Christian, I'd be like, okay, well, that's an asshole. I'm not respecting his rights. I'm not reciprocating rights with that guy.
Exactly.
And as to, there is no non-arbitrary. This cannot be said enough. There is no non-arbitrary line in the sand in which the clump of cells magically becomes enough of a human.
Right.
To need to start respecting rights or reciprocating rights with them.
Right. And this is another problem I have with the anti-abortion people. You know, they have the signs, oh, the heartbeat at 14 days or whatever. God, like, okay, why is a heart, how does it become a human when it has a heartbeat? Right. You're shooting yourself in the fucking foot, dumbass. Okay, well, this dog over here has a heartbeat. Is it a human too? I mean, just how does a heartbeat make something human? You're trying to come up with all these weird fucking defining points, just like a goddamn feminist. Well, the baby popped out of the magic birth control. Now it's a person. No. You're just showing how fucking stupid you are when you try to come up with these weird-ass fucking made-up arbitrary points where it turns into a human. The point where it turns into a human is when the fertilized egg implants into the fucking wall of the uterus. That is the only obvious, arbitrary fucking turning point between something that is not going to turn into a human and something that is going to turn into a human. This is not fucking hard unless you're a woman or a retard.
Another thing is, and jump in here if you have anything to say on any of this.
Don't worry, I will.
Well, otherwise, I was going to say what could be fun. What could be fun is if I try to steel man Rothbard here a little bit, and we have like a little back and forth with Rothbard's perspective. So how do you address this kind of situation when we have what appears to be at least a conflict of rights, right? The mother no longer is consenting to having this baby occupying their body and using their resources. How do we evaluate which right wins in this situation when we have the right of the baby or the fetus, and we have the right of the mother?
I just want to say one more thing about this first paragraph where he says this poses a problem for when or in what way they acquire their rights, so to speak.
There are no
gradually
rights.
Or all at once. At what age? The only consistent non-arbitrary answer is from the beginning.
Yes.
From the moment that they become a living, existing being.
Yes.
And also later on in here, he talks about like they're not alive when they're a fetus. That is scientifically inaccurate. Like,
yes.
They are. Like the scientific definition of life
alive.
Is met by the fertilized egg.
Fucking alive.
That being will start multiplying and becoming, it's on its path. It is alive.
It is
replicating.
Alive.
It is consuming resources and growing.
It is completely alive
at that point.
Jesus Christ.
So now to
fucking
your question, there's a couple analogies. It is notoriously difficult to come up with analogies for birth, because there's not any other situation in the world where life is created other than
birth,
conception, and pregnancy. So it's hard to find another example that is a direct analogy. There's a couple close ones. And both of them illustrate the important point here that goes to Christian's question, which is who is responsible and culpable for the situation?
Right.
That's really really.
And once again, who is responsible for the situation? We know who's responsible. The woman. What are women incapable of doing? I mean, other than staying thin and shutting the fuck up. Women are incapable of taking responsibility. We know exactly who's responsible. Just look at who's trying the hardest to avoid responsibility for the fucking baby, and it's pretty goddamn obvious who's fucking responsible.
What it comes down to. If I, even accidentally, knock Christian into a lake.
Right.
Who owns, that's a bad word, who is culpable for that situation?
Right.
Who is culpable for the outcome of that situation?
You are.
If Christian drowns, who is culpable for his death?
The person
even
who knocked
if
him
I
in
accidentally
the water.
Knocked him in.
Right.
Who's culpable?
Right.
Me.
You.
Even if
That pretty basic shit, right? Pretty basic shit.
If it was an accident, if it was on purpose, I think it's clear. Nobody even...
Right.
Nobody...
Well, okay, unless you're a woman, in which case then you'll get a pass because you're a woman and you can't be held accountable for your actions. But right, if you're a white man, which this guy's a white... These are two white men. Yeah, if you're a white man and you do something, yes, you're responsible for it. And you would think the same would apply to women because women are strong, independent girl bosses who are equal to men and can do anything a man can do, but can in fact do everything better than men because they don't need men because they have fish bicycles, except of course that women cannot do responsibility.
Quibbles with me on that. But the thing that's important is even if I accidentally break someone's window, I'm still culpable to get that window repaired or
exactly.
to make restitution for the damage that I
yes.
caused, right?
Yes.
So that's the first thing. We are culpable.
To be clear on that, that's because intent is subjective. Like there's no
right.
there's no way to pin down intent as like a motivator for any of these things. So
exactly. So like this is why hate crimes are bullshit. No, intention is subjective and you can't touch it and you can't feel it and it can't be measured. It's bullshit.
It's inconsequential to the calculus whether or not you intended to break the window or push the person. What matters is the results in reality.
The results, yes.
Yes. And
yes.
then the second analogy that I summon to talk about this situation, because he talks about in here, you know, withdrawing your consent. The mother consented to the baby being there, and now she doesn't.
Now
and the
she
moment
doesn't.
She doesn't, it goes from being a baby to a fucking invader parasite.
Right.
Like, first of all,
hold on.
Slow the hell down.
Slow,
just a little
yes.
bit, please.
Yes. Shut the fuck
but
up.
But no, the illustration I use to point out the absurdity of what happens there
this
is that
good.
If I point a gun at Christian and I pull the trigger and I fire a bullet, and the moment that bullet leaves the barrel, I withdraw my consent to being culpable for the situation.
Yes.
Then I just get to shoot people.
That's a fantastic analogy. That's perfect. That's exactly what it is. You don't get to, yeah, I'm gonna point my gun at people and pull the trigger and they withdraw consent. Oh, look, I could just do anything I want. There's no consequences to me shooting people because I withdrew consent for where the bullet's going to go right after it left the barrel. This is a great analogy. And this is, again, this is women. I'm going to have the sex. I'm going to have that sex unprotected. I'm not going to take my plan B. I'm going to get the fucking shit. And then I'm just going to withdraw consent after the fact. I'm going to have sex 25 years later. I'm just going to withdraw consent 25 years later. Oh, I was raped. And
oh, of course, women, great one. Of course, we should let women go to college.
Because I can just say, oh, I didn't consent to what that bullet did after it left the gun. Oh, did it hit Christian? Oh, crap. Oh, it killed him? Oh, man, I didn't consent to any of that.
I didn't consent to any of
those
things.
No, sorry. Oh. You pulled the trigger. You fired the bullet at him. You don't get to just disconsent to the effects of your actions, in the middle.
Unless you're a woman, then you can fucking disconsent to everything, which is, once again, why women are property. They're not people. They're not agents. They're not agents, guys. They cannot consent. Because once they've given their consent, you can never count on them to keep it. They are property. They are not agents.
Of the situation. That's absurd. That that removes all culpability for all crimes.
Exactly.
I mean, it's so apparent. So even if I accidentally shoot Christian or fire a bullet at Christian, I still don't get to withdraw my consent to that bullet flying
right.
at Christian. And the effects of those actions, I'm culpable for them. And rightly so. And if I'm not, we are erasing all crime. And we're giving it out to all property damage.
Whereas in this
I swung
case,
the bat.
What we're doing is we're just giving an out to all women, which is why our society is in total decline. Because you've got 50% of the population that cannot be bound to any form of agreement and never has to take responsibility for their actions or the consequences of their actions or the outcomes of those consequences. And when you have a society where 50% of the population is allowed to just run wild and do anything they want with no consequences, well, you get everything that's around you. Right now, that's what you get.
But, oh, man, I disconsented to that bat's momentum through the air right before it hit the person's window. Like, this is all absurd. You initiate a situation.
Right.
Even accidentally.
Right.
You are culpable for the effects of that situation.
Right.
So those are the two analogies I try and use to illustrate this. Do you have anything else you want to say, or should I continue reading? I'm sure there's more.
Yeah, let's do one more, and then I think we'll probably have all the ammunition we need to press on from here.
Okay.
So you brought up how the demarcation of where life begins is arbitrary, right? And that was like a big point for you. But in your construction of what are rights and who gets them, you include people who will eventually, or things that will eventually reciprocate rights. Is that not in itself an arbitrary demarcation of who, what are rights and who gets them?
It's trying to be inclusive, not arbitrarily exclusive. And it's for the purpose of, and again, like my conception of rights is trying to be descriptive, not prescriptive. I'm saying that here's how rights actually work.
Right.
And one of the ways that rights actually work is when I'm asleep, you still reciprocate property rights with me, even though I'm not conscious or sentient or anything. If I'm in a medical coma, you can't come take all my stuff and it not be theft.
This is a really good point he's making here.
Yeah, if I'm unconscious on the operating table, like you still have reciprocate rights with me, absent my conscious self. Why?
Yeah.
Might be the answer, or what's the borders of that reciprocation continuing, even though I'm no longer conscious or sentient or really there as a person mentally? It's because there's a strong expectation that I will return to that state in the future. I will become sentient and aware again in the future. I'll become reciprocating with you again. And it's a temporary situation that I will sort of grow out of.
Now, the one counterpoint I'll make to this is, and I'm not sure which way this goes yet, but an argument that I think could be made here to the analogy he just made, right? So I'm here right now. I have property rights. So then I go into a coma. I'm in an auto accident. I go into a coma. I'm in the hospital. Yes, I still have property rights. You can't come and take my stuff because I may come out of the coma. All right. Now, the one distinction we could make here, we could say the unborn child. So before I went into the coma, I had established that I reciprocated property rights, right? The newly fertilized egg that's implanted in the uterine wall does not have a prior history of reciprocating property rights. And you could throw that argument out. However, my response to that would be that once again, if left alone, it's going to turn into a human. And as a human, it will probably reciprocate property rights unless it's a politician or a police officer or a criminal. But I repeat myself. And so until such time as the fertilized egg implanted in the uterine wall has demonstrated through action and or inaction that it will not reciprocate property rights, you must assume, well, you must do nothing. You should assume and you should act as if it will, right? You treat people as if they are going to respect your property until such point as they do not respect your property. Once they have proven through action or inaction they do not respect your property, then you can respond to that as appropriate. So the unborn child has no prior history of respecting property rights upon which to base your conclusion that the child will respect property rights in the future, but it is safe to assume, it is safe to conclude, it is smart to say that until proven otherwise, I will assume the child will obey or respect property rights.
Over time. To not be arbitrary, we have to hold that constant, and we have to say that if we're going to reciprocate rights with people that aren't sentient when they're asleep or on the operating table or in a coma, a medically induced coma, or, you know, whatever, they got into a car wreck and they got hit in the head and they're in a coma, we still respect their rights. Mm-hmm. If we're going to be consistent, we can't use sort of consciousness, sentience, mental capacity as the demarcation on who we reciprocate rights with.
Right. And talking about mental capacity, I mean, what about I understand name calling, but what are actual literal retards? Do we get to kill them off? And once again, don't assume. I'm in favor of euthanizing retarded people. Don't think for a goddamn minute I'm opposed to it. Get their, they're a drain on society. They consume resources. You know, my global warming and my carbon footprint and the medications they need and the additional care they need. I am completely in favor of euthanizing, not torturing, okay, not experimenting on you, just like you do a dog. I'm completely in favor of euthanizing retarded people. And yes, I do actually include liberals in that. So yeah, we certainly can't use mental capacity because retarded people have property rights. I can't go to a place where there's a retarded person living there and go in the retarded kid's room and take his toys. I mean, I can. Okay, but I can't. I can't do that and expect for people to respect my property. So even fucking retards have property rights.
Like, that baby in the womb is going to grow up in all likelihood to reciprocate rights with people.
Exactly.
So there's no non-arbitrary distinction that we can make to allow us to kill that life that wouldn't allow us to also remove, you know, not reciprocate the rights with a coma patient or, you know, things like that. Does that answer your question?
Cool. Yeah, I think the one thing I might add to that is that I've seen a couple people say, like, okay, well, why don't you do it in reverse? Why don't you say people who have demonstrated the capacity for reciprocating
which
rights
is kind of the argument
who will.
I think
it comes back to how you were talking about of this being a descriptive understanding of rights, where
right.
The first time you meet someone, you have no information on whether or not they have reciprocated
exactly.
rights in the past, but you still treat them as if they will
exactly.
until proven otherwise.
Bingo.
So that as a descriptive
there
factor of rights that and not a prescriptive, that
there
is
it
why
is.
It's constructed in this sort of way. And I think I've done enough pretending to be Rothbard questions to where I think we have all the ammunition we need to handle the rest of this section.
Agreed. Just to restate in my own words what you just said, it's if we didn't reciprocate rights with people until they demonstrated their reciprocity,
right.
then rights would not exist and
exactly.
no one would reciprocate
no
them
one
because
would go
no
first.
One starts until they've already seen you do it.
Yes.
And it's a performative contradiction
right.
where if no one starts reciprocating until someone demonstrates it, then necessarily no one will ever start.
Yes.
And so, and also, even if not everybody started or it wasn't the default, you have to prime the pump. You have to prime the engine. You have to say, okay, I'm going to trust that, you know, you're not a shitty person until you demonstrate otherwise.
Right.
Otherwise, I'm just going to go around attacking and taking whatever I want. And we've erased morality.
Right. Someone has to go
first. If I'm not
going to
reciprocate with people that haven't previously demonstrated it, then it nullifies morality.
And the person going first
will
always be a man because women never go first. Except, of course, if it's the buffet, then women will be first in line to the buffet. But other than that, men always have to go first.
In that case, cogently.
All right. I think you did pretty good.
It has been objected that since the mother originally consented to the... Okay, I already handled that one. Yeah, the inalienability of the will. We talked about that.
Yeah.
And he talks about it as a contract. Again, me knocking Krishna, just to rebut this point specifically about there not being a contract here,
yes.
obviously no contract here. If I knock Krishna into a lake,
there's no contract.
I don't need a contract to make me culpable for what happens
right.
if he drowns.
Right.
That's not a contractual situation. That's more like...
Right. If I go up on the roof of a building with a sniper rifle and I start shooting people... I can't sit there and go, oh, well, I'm not responsible for shooting those people because there was no contract. I mean, what kind of horse shit is that? This is one of those things about my libertarians is they're so fucking in love with contracts. Once again, I get it. You know, contracts are a thing. You know, taxation is theft. All right. Yeah. But my God, it's like for the libtards, everything is taxation is theft and my contract. My God, not every fucking thing you do in life involves a goddamn contract. Jesus fucking Christ. A contract really has very little to do with this.
A tort situation. I put Christian in a state of peril, in a situation in which he would die. And it's my job to ameliorate that situation to the best of my ability because I'm responsible for it. If I have sex, even
accidentally,
and this excludes rape, by the way.
Accidentally. How do you accidentally have sex?
We'll get to. But if I have sex, I am culpable for that situation. It's my job to take care of that person that I put in a perilous state of dependence on me.
Right.
If we're not culpable for our action, and that doesn't require a contract. That's where I was going with that.
Yeah, there's no
okay.
contract
Another
involved.
Argument... Of the anti-abortionists, is that the fetus is a living human being, and therefore entitled to all of the rights of human beings. Very good. Let us concede for purposes of the discussion that fetuses are human beings, or more broadly, potential human beings. Well, they're definitely scientifically human beings.
They're
definitely scientifically living, and they're definitely scientifically human species. Yeah,
they're
members.
Human. They're
so
alive.
This is not even...
This is horseshit. Yeah, anyway.
And are therefore entitled to full human rights. But what humans, we may ask, have the right to be coercive parasites within the body?
Well, everybody on welfare. Everybody who works for the government. Once again, is this really... I chunk the libertarians in there with the fucking right-tards who, yeah, this is the kind of shit. Before you start worrying about shit like this, why don't you worry about, like, real important shit, like the national debt, right, which has enslaved all of us. And the government is a fucking parasite on everybody, a coercive parasite on everybody. Yeah, why don't you worry about the problems that are giant, huge, and overarching? Instead of this kind of shit.
Body of an unwilling human host. Clearly, no born humans have such a right. And therefore,
welfare
a fortiori, the fetus can have no such right either. The analogy I use for this one is, if I abduct someone and I put them in my basement, can I then withdraw consent to feed them? It's like, I didn't consent. I mean, I withdraw my consent for them to be in my basement. They're just a parasite at this point. I don't have to feed them, and I'm not responsible if they starve to death. Like, come on. Like, what? You created the situation.
Right.
This whole discussion is an attempt to get out of being culpable for situations that you create.
Right. This whole discussion is women avoiding responsibility. I could just record 52 minutes and 40 seconds of me saying women avoiding responsibility, and it would be the same as the podcast you're listening to right now. All of this is Rothbard being a beta male simp helping women avoid responsibility for their actions because he thinks maybe a woman will have sex with him one day. And they won't, sweet, because you're wearing a fucking bow tie.
And it's so obvious. The anti-abortionists generally couch the preceding argument in terms of the fetuses as well as the born human's right to life. I never used that, by the way. We have not used this concept in this volume because of its ambiguity and because any proper rights implied by its advocates are included in the concept of the right to self-ownership, the right to have one's person free from aggression. I also want to point out that I don't object to anti-abortionist as a term. I find both pro-life and pro-choice to be the misleading marketing propaganda of their respective positions.
Yes.
Abortion is the issue.
Right.
One side is pro-abortion. The other side is anti-abortion.
Exactly.
That's clear.
Once again, call it what it is. The first rule of philosophy, call things what they are. You're not pro-life. You're not pro-choice. You're pro-abortion. You're anti-abortion. Call shit what the fuck it is.
Language, and I don't disagree with that usage. Just to digress. Even Professor Judith Thompson,
a woman
who in her discussion of the abortion question attempts inconsistently to retain the concept of right to life along with the right to own one's own body, lucidly demonstrates the pitfalls and errors of the right to life doctrine. Quote, in some views, having a right to life includes having a right to be given at least the bare minimum one needs for continued life, but suppose that what in fact is the bare minimum a man needs for continued life is something he has no right at all to be given. If I am sick unto death, and the only thing that will save my life is the touch of Henry Fonda's cool hand on my fevered brow, then, all the same, I have no right to be given the touch of Henry Fonda's cool hand on my fevered brow.
So let me just point out, this is what you get when a woman tries to do philosophy. This is a woman attempting to philosophize. But yes, they should be engineers.
It would be frightfully nice of him to fly in from the West Coast to provide it, but I have no right at all against anybody that he should do this for me.
Unless,
says Patrick, Henry Fonda, put your ass in that state of about to die.
Exactly.
And then it's on him to fly his ass from wherever he is to touch your brow and save your life.
Exactly.
Which is the analogy to abortion. Moving on.
Right. So the stupid broad is trying to make an analogy to abortion, but she doesn't even fucking understand what abortion is enough to make the fucking analogy. She's just a dumb bitch.
In short, it is impermissible to interpret the term right to life to give one an enforceable claim to the action of someone else to sustain that life. In our terminology, such a claim would be an impermissible violation of the other person's right of self-ownership. Or, as Professor Thompson cogently puts it, quote, having a right to life does not guarantee having either a right to be given the use of or a right to be allowed continued use of another person's body, even if one needs it for life itself. Again, Patrick says asterisk, unless you put the fucking person in that state of life and death peril. Like, it's so obvious. Why are they missing it?
Because it's a fucking woman. That's why she's missing it. And because Rothbard wears a fucking bow tie.
Suppose now that the baby has been born, then what? And this is probably when it gets spicy. First, we may say that the parents, or rather the mother, who is the only certain and visible parent, as the creators of the baby become its owners.
So the mother owns the baby. The father already tossed out. Right, the mother, who is the only certain and visible parent. I don't know, maybe we should do paternity testing on all children in order to establish just how many women are fucking men other than the man they're married to. But women wouldn't want that information to get out, would they? Mandatory paternity testing. The great one is 100% in favor of that. I would even fund that with my tax money, which has been taken from me by the process of theft. So the mother owns the baby. Now remember, we're anti-slavery. Oh, my slavery. Oh, my fucking touching myself over going on the internet and celebrating Juneteenth and virtue signaling how against slavery I am. Because, oh my God, I care about my blackies so much. And oh, my slavery. And oh, my white people. And oh, my George Washington owned slaves. But you see, the mother owns the baby. Is this the way Thomas Jefferson owned his black people? Or is this a different form of ownership? I'm confused. Could you could you distinguish for me between the different versions of ownership? Hey, there's the music. We're gonna let the music play. I'm gonna go get another beer, and then we're gonna finish this off. You know what? I think I just changed my mind. There's going to be a part two. This way, I'll have a podcast for Friday also. Yes, laziness. Let's hear it for laziness.